Vader flashing back to Anakin, like, it shows that shit was there. Like, Luke was the focal point for this, but there was still, like, other times where it made itself known that he was still Anakin in there.
No. For sure. I'm just saying, obviously, Vader could smoke Starkiller. We saw him do
it. Oh, yeah, for sure. We've seen that.
But that's why I'm saying.
So his ass into a Sith Stalker.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Anakin at his height, literally Revenge of the Sith Anakin versus Starkiller. I really do believe Starkiller was way more advanced in the Force than Anakin was at that specific point. Anakin was a better swordsman, for sure.
Anakin still killed Count Dooku, so it's like...
Count Dooku couldn't stand up to Starkiller. That's not saying much.
I don't know, man.
Starkiller probably would have killed him easier.
Count Dooku had the curved lightsaber. I'm just saying that makes the ship powerful.
Anyway, let's kick this off. Welcome to an all-new episode of Star Wars Saturday. It's been forever. I know. I also know that we probably won't be releasing this on a Saturday, so shut up, people. But I am your host, Juwan, joined by some of the most trained in the Force that you can find out there, starting with Dakota. It's been too long. What's going on, man?
It has been a while, you know, man. Life happened. I think the last episode was before my daughter was even born, so yeah. It's been a while.
Yep, new so dad.
It's good to be back, though.
Absolutely.
Well, shit, this is my, this is my second one, so I'm there's nothing I haven't done before, but it's always a bit of an adjustment with the little one.
Absolutely. Definitely. We gave you congrats before, but definitely still congrats are in order, man.
Thank you.
A blessing. AJ, what's going on, man? I done potted with you like 30 times today, but what's going on, AJ?
Pretty good. Feeling nice and refreshed. Ahsoka is the greatest Jedi / non-Jedi ever created in Star Wars. Stronger than Anakin, stronger than Starkiller, stronger than anybody you can ever say.
No.
I mean, I guess we're gonna see this Friday, so that'll be cool.
First of all, AJ, if I was even to remotely let you have one of those, you damn sure ain't having both. You ain't gonna say the best Jedi and non-Jedi. Pick one.
Jedi and non-Jedi.
No, pick one.
That is one.
I mean, technically, she's a gray Jedi, so, I mean, you can call her a gray Jedi.
Oh, my goodness. No, so her lightsabers are yellow. She's not a gray Jedi. All right, let's get into this. Dakota, me and AJ have actually been reviewing The Mandalorian Season 2 since it started. So I want to give you your opportunity to kind of tell us what your thoughts have been for these past, 3 weeks so far? Yeah, I think this is the fourth week. How you think this season two has been shaping up so far?
I kind of alluded, when we were talking about it at first, I kind of alluded to it. It's okay so far. Like, it's not great. It's not terrible. I will admit, seeing Bo-Katan in, like, real life, that shit was fucking dope. I don't know. It just seems like most of the episodes have just been like, hey, look at this. Hey, look at that. Hey, look over here. What's going on over there? It's just, I don't know. Like, I'm a very story-oriented person, and it just seems like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the story hasn't picked up yet, but I don't know. I need a little bit more if I'm going to say it's anywhere near as good as the first season, you know?
I think the level of expectation has just grown tremendously for this second season.
And there's like so much attention to detail, and I cannot stress how much attention to detail is paid on this show. It just seems like the focus sometimes is a little bit too much on like the details and not so much on the overarching story, if that makes sense.
It makes
like I don't need to see Baby Yoda eating baby frogs for like, you know, five scenes. Like,
I will say the biggest flaw that it looks like this season has is it's looking to do, and it's the same problem I thought Rise of the Skywalker had. It's looking to do way too much fan service.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't please everybody. So it's just spending 30 minutes just like showing how beautiful shit is. And oh, look, here's sand people. Look at them. We haven't seen them in a while. Like, it's just,
you know, I will say, Favreau, sometimes it looks like from the, again, we're only three episodes in, so we're not judging this season as a whole.
Yeah, but I'm not being overly critical, just to be overly critical.
It does look like sometimes Favreau gets himself into these ideals of this being too much of like a Western. Like, I don't know if you guys ever watched like really old Westerns, but there were times like in like a Western movie, there'd be like a lull for like 30 minutes of them doing something that's so unimportant to the story that you're just like, what am I watching? And then it finds its way to kind of kick back in. And then you're like, okay, all right, good. We're back. But
it's actually one of the things I appreciate about The Mandalorian is the fact that like someone watching it can be like, oh, it's just another Star Wars show. And I'm like, it's really not. I mean, this is like straight up bonanza episodes. Like, cause I'm a huge fan of Westerns myself. And you know, I spent a lot of time when I was a kid watching Westerns, and like Gunsmoke and Bonanza are two of my favorites. And you also got the Rifleman, and a lot of those elements are very present in The Mandalorian. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just because it's, you don't get that too often where you can blend two genres like sci-fi and Westerns. Like, you had the whole Cowboys and Aliens movie, but I don't know, that that movie was it was weird when it came out, and it's still weird like years later. So
that movie, I always said, Jon Favreau, that movie was great in theory, but it's one of those things to where it's like what he did with that movie is what we used to do, like when we would imagine things and then act it out with our toys, but it was never something that could, you know, literally kind of jump from just that to being like on the big screen. Like, it just doesn't really translate that well because it's such a weird concept. Cowboys and what? No, that's like the most, that sounds more like a parody than it does.
But then again, like, take serious. In the same aspect, you can take, like, you don't have to take every element, but you take the one concept, like this Lone Rider, with, you know, his unexpected passenger. And, you know, that's a common theme across a lot of Westerns, not just television shows, but movies in general, too. And they did that well. It's just, like you're saying, now you're getting to that point where they're just like, oh, we saw what worked in the first season. All the fans just like to look at every single frame of the episode for every single possible Easter egg. So we're just going to jam as much Easter eggs as we can in there. And it's like, you know, you're sacrificing a bit of the substance for the appeal of it. You're selling too much of the sizzle and not enough of the steak.
You can tell, with that being said, you can tell that that's literally the only fans, the fans only care about is the Easter
eggs. I was gonna say, what are we talking about, an OnlyFans now?
Oh my god, the Mandalorian having an OnlyFans would be hilarious.
Hey, I will buy that.
He just slowly removes pieces of his armor, like showing an arm.
No,
but
no,
he never takes his helmet off.
No, never takes the helmet off.
That's the ultimate tease, never takes his helmet off. But
send me a tip for a wrist shot.
Dakota, I am curious to hear what your thoughts are. Me and AJ agreed, not this last episode with Bo-Katan, the one before, we thought was a filler. And in your second season, where you're kind of supposed to heighten everything, like if season one had things at a 10, you're supposed to jump to a 20 in your second season. And you're giving us 8 episodes, I believe. There is no room for fillers. Like, that's what you were supposed to get out of the way in season
one.
Season
two. Yeah, and I get that, too. I honestly, like, I like the way the second episode was done. Again, they had a little bit too much with the, with setting up things around it. But, I don't know. All things considered, like, the spider chase was cool as shit. Right. It was actually, like, I don't know, it evoked a response in me, so that was pretty cool. You know, and it was cool with the whole X-Wings at the end. And, you know, there's Dave Filoni being an awesome X-Wing pilot. I appreciate that he kept the Wolfpack symbol. That shit's dope. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I have to imagine the the season's going to find its legs within the next few episodes, I hope. Either that or it's just not going to be as good of a season as the first season, which is not terrible. And also, I'm being hyperly critical because I literally just finished watching The Wire this week. So that show's a masterpiece. It's probably my favorite show of all time.
That is the one show that I always go either way. So, like, if someone came to me and was like, yo, I just saw The Wire, it's the greatest show ever, I could go, yeah, I see that. But if someone came to me and said, yo, that was probably one of the more boring shows that I've watched, I would go, I could understand where you kind of get that from.
Oh, yeah, season two takes a minute to get used to. But once you get in there, man, it's good. Now, I like the thing I like about The Wire is how timely it was for the time it was made and, like, the way things went in history. It's just a very forward thinking show, and you know, it's just one that I can revisit and always feel the same about it as I did the first time. Like, I grew up around police. My stepdad was a cop, so I mean, that was pretty much my entire childhood.
I'll say this, I always compare The Wire to, because I came onto The Wire late, like I just watched it last year. I thought it was great writing, great storytelling, but I compare The Wire to The Dark Knight, to where no one left The Wire going, man, those good guys, though, they were great.
Nobody's entirely good in this show. That's the whole point.
That's fair, but it legit was led by all of the bad guys. Like, all the best performances came from literally all of the bad guys.
There's a reason Omar's everyone's favorite.
Oh, for sure. For sure, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Omar's the best.
I haven't watched The Wire, but you one got of the to. Things.
HBO Max, man. That's what
I like. I know where it's at, and I am going to watch it.
The streaming services, like HBO Max, has the best value for your money.
100%.
This is a Star Wars podcast.
100%. Here I am.
That's what I'm comparing it to. It's just me being overly critical because I just watched the masterpiece of a show.
Yeah. But with The Mandalorian, the one thing that I do not like is that it's episodic. You were just talking about HBO Max, where the series itself, it doesn't flow as an episodic series, but it just flows like as a one type of story arc, like with Watchmen or Game of Thrones or Spartacus. They're all like one type storylines throughout each season. But with The Mandalorian, it's episodic and it can feel a little choppy for a little bit. And I agree with that, but I guess it's fine with Star Wars. I would rather it to be like a Watchmen type of story arc instead of like an episodic, which feels weird, but I still love the show as a whole.
I will say, out of all this geek-like shows that we've gotten in streaming services, The Mandalorian is probably the only one that I could safely say could just be a movie. It could literally be a 2.5-hour
movie. 100%,
yeah. Where it reduces all the filler and just gives you the highest points and is one of the best Star Wars movies ever. But it deciding to be episodic, one thing I would always tell showrunners is, and listen to me saying one thing I would tell them, like, I mean anything, but one suggestion I would make is if you're only giving me 8 episodes, right, I would tell you focus all your filler in season one, because season one are always, it's like when you're setting a table and you're putting your knives, your forks, your spoons, your tablecloths, everything down. You're setting the table. Once you set the table and you bring out the food, don't then tell me I gotta wait 20 more minutes for you to bring out a dish or you to bring out this or you to bring. No, give me my goddamn food. So once you've set the table with season one, season two, let us eat. Give us nonstop action. Give us great story. Give us great visual shots. Give us all that. Don't give me an episode where I'm legit just like, that was a really cool thing where, like, that big spider was chasing them. Like, yeah, that was cool. Like, no, give me better than that.
Don't give me 5 scenes of Baby Yoda murdering a fucking frog's unborn offspring.
Right. And like we said, Dakota, there's nothing wrong with filler because some of the greatest shows of all time have filler. That's not the problem. The problem is those shows that gave us filler were like 22 episodes, 23 episodes, 15 episodes even. So it's like, yeah, you kind of got the room to do that. When you tell me there's 8 and I'm waiting weekly for that shit, don't give me filler. Don't give me filler. There's no need for that. There's just
I completely agree.
Shame. Shame on you, Favreau and Filoni.
For shame.
We deserve
it. We're just being extremely nitpicky. Obviously.
Oh, of course.
You know, we're all huge, but like it's The Mandalorian. Like it's a great show, but now we can give it shit because you know we know what to expect of it.
Right. You set the bar so high. It's like Daredevil season one. You set the bar high. If season two didn't bring it, we're looking at it like, bro. Like what? Like you just showed.
I'm still not ready to talk about Daredevil. I'm still pissed about that whole thing. I'm so pissed about that. I think that's what initially got the ball rolling for my eventual hatred of Netflix, because I love Daredevil and I love The Punisher, and both of them got fucking canceled, and I'm still not over it.
To be fair, it was less them being canceled and more so Feige kind of being like, I want to do something with those characters, so y'all gonna have to wrap that shit up.
Yeah, but here's the thing, you're not even gonna keep the same damn actors. Like, you know damn well they're not gonna keep the same actors if they bring them back.
That is fair.
Well, that's a shame, because Charlie Cox is an amazing Daredevil. I literally could not speak enough to John Bernthal as the Punisher. He's my favorite Punisher.
Goodness. Yeah.
And that's hard for me to say because I love the Thomas Jane Punisher too. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm probably the only American that preferred Ray Stevenson.
Yeah, I didn't hate Ray Stevenson either, honestly. Like, each Punisher movie, like, Punisher's not meant to be, like, a glossy movie. It's gritty and dark as fuck. That's what the Punisher is. You know, that's why, like, they can't go the route of a Deadpool thing where they just make him snarky as shit, because that's not the Punisher.
Right.
Like a Punisher movie has to be brutal. It has to be dark. I would fucking love to see Liam Neeson as the Punisher. Tell me how dope that shit would be, like.
Liam Neeson. Oh wait, I think we just lost him. Hold on, let me see if I can get him back. But no, I mean, getting back to the Mandalorian, AJ, me and you have already stated this. We love it. We love this. Oh wait, we got Dakota back. Hold on.
Hey.
All right, there we go. We got you back. We got you back. Hold on, you're connecting your audio. All right, we got you back, Dakota.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, you're good. No, so we were looping back, Dakota. No, obviously, like you said before, we love The Mandalorian. We're huge fans of it. We just expect more. I mean, it honestly, if I can compare season two to anything, it'd be comparing it to season seven of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Those few episodes of Ahsoka's arc, I didn't need any of that shit. Like, you could have just given me more of the Battle of Mandalore and less of, like, you showing me what Ahsoka's been up to. I don't really care.
I liked it. I'm not saying it was bad.
Just like I don't think the spider episode was bad. It's just when you've condensed something, I don't need those. Were fillers. However good you thought they were obviously fillers. The main story was what you got in the last three or four episodes. So obviously it was meant to fill. It was meant to kind of give you guys, this is what Ahsoka's been up to. This is her philosophy. She still kind of thinks the same way. All that was given when Ahsoka went back to Anakin and Obi-Wan and was kind of like, yeah, I forgot how much I fucking hated you guys. That explained, oh, nope, she still believes the same thing. Boom. It got the same reaction. So to me, it was just like, give us what we want, which is that final arc, all the action, all the stuff we've been looking forward to. But again, we're three episodes in, fourth episode coming this Friday. You give me Ahsoka in this episode, it literally wipes out that one filler episode that you gave me, and I forget completely about it, and I'm just probably just in love with the screen seeing Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. So I mean, look, they only have up to go from here. But one thing I definitely wanted to point out was, Dakota, I wanted you to talk a little bit more before we move on from The Mandalorian. Your thoughts specifically on Bo-Katan's beef with why do I forget his name? That has the Darksaber.
Moth Gideon.
Moth Gideon. I was reminding AJ, I don't know if we talked about it specifically. I think we kept saying Sabine had it last. But Bo-Katan had the Darksaber last. So that's why she's taking a lot of aggression out on the idea that he stole it from her. Now, this is what I want to toss over to you, Dakota. I wholeheartedly believe Moth Gideon's quest for Baby Yoda is purely driven by Palpatine. I do believe Palpatine right now is what is driving Moth Gideon.
I thought you said Thrawn.
No.
Either's a possibility.
I do think Thrawn is the strategist for what's happening with Moth Gideon, but I do believe his obsession with Baby Yoda is the bigger picture, which is Palpatine. You're not telling me Moth Gideon wants this Force user so bad just so he can kill it. I think he wants it so they can start bringing in these Force users to turn them. There's a reason he wants this child specifically. And I do think it's a weird obsession that's coming from Palpatine. So what I'm saying is, AJ, if there was a pecking order, Palpatine's all the way at the top. He's kind of directing it to Thrawn. Thrawn's directing it to Moth Gideon. And you know, Moth Gideon's acting out what the orders are.
The only thing I don't agree with is that pecking order you're talking about. I don't think Moth Gideon is listening to Thrawn, just because Moth Gideon has the same title as Thrawn. They have the same amount of power
as each other. If you're Thrawn, you know you have the shoulder of Palpatine. And I don't think Palpatine's only talking to Thrawn. I think Moth Gideon has had a run-in with Palpatine. He understands where he stands in this. And it doesn't necessarily mean that Thrawn is his boss. It just means, like, the pecking order is, like, no matter what your title is, I favor this guy. Like, I trust him. I've been through wars with this guy, you know? So it's like, Moth Gideon, you've earned where you're at, but relax, you know? Like relax for a second. But yeah, I do believe that there's a deeper meaning behind this obsession with Baby Yoda. But Dakota, I'm sorry, I'm passing it over to you. Kind of walk me through your thoughts on that logic.
Oh no, what I want to know is how the fuck after three episodes we've only gotten a holographic image of Moff Gideon when he was like this big bad enemy that was teased at the end of last season. Like I was expecting a little bit more of him, but I mean, yeah, along the lines with what you're saying, maybe it was like a Battlefront 2 type situation where, it was part of the contingency after Palpatine's death. Like, he sent one of those fancy-ass robots with his face on it. Yeah, it's very possible. And, again, we don't know where Thrawn is, so he's with Ezra Bridger at this point still, probably. I mean, if we're getting Ahsoka Tano, maybe we'll get like an inkling as to what happened to Ezra Bridger and why the fuck everyone just forgot about him. Like, again, he was a boring character, but he wasn't that boring. I guess there's a pecking order. I have to imagine, like, we all know Palpatine's got his hands firmly up the ass of everything that happens in the galaxy. So, I mean, this is probably part of the overarching strategy.
Right.
Whether it's Thrawn or just Moff Gideon, I guess it remains to be seen. If I see Thrawn live screen in The Mandalorian, I'm probably going to die, because he's legitimately one of my favorite characters ever in Star Wars. So.
I said this, Dakota.
I think that's all of ours, yeah.
I said The Mandalorian has the ability that most shows don't, like most superhero shows don't, and it's the ability that it legit could be backdoor pilots for so many characters. Bo-Katan should have her own show after this. Thrawn should have his
own. I don't know if she should have their own show. Like, if you do that, you get into like this it's too many spinoff things. Kind of like, there's one show that had an ass load of spinoff. Fucking Doctor Who. There's a shitload of spinoffs. The difference is Doctor Who.
The difference is if you do Bo-Katan, what makes her story special is it's a Mandalorian. So it's like a branch of that show. But
yeah, we already have the Mandalorian, you know. You get another one, it's going to be like, oh, it's the other Mandalorian.
But they're not the same. I mean, it even showed you in that specific episode where he was like, oh, you're not Mandalorian. You took your helmet off. No, yeah, but
right. The average Star Wars fan or the average Disney Plus viewer is going to look at this and be like, oh, that's that other Mandalorian show. Because, I mean, if they're watching The Mandalorian, they don't know who the fuck Bo-Katan is. Like, if you're just watching The Mandalorian and not as hardcore a fan like we are that watched every episode of The Clone Wars and knows who Bo-Katan is, they're just like, oh, okay, this is a new character.
Yeah,
you know, you got to think about what the average viewer is thinking.
I would 5 years ago, I would have agreed with you. In today's world, we had a Joker on Gotham, a Joker with Jared Leto, and then released a Joker movie, and society existed perfectly fine.
Perfectly with fucking Joaquin Phoenix of all people. Tell me how the fuck that one worked.
I have no idea. So to me, I think people would be fine. I mean, hell, if you listen to the show, they told you what the distinct difference is between the two of them. I think people would be fine. And Bo-Katan's show, I think, should take place because you have so much blank canvas between the end of Clone Wars season 7 and when she first arrives in Rebels. So you have all that blank canvas and then the extra blank canvas of after Rebels ended, that the last thing you see is her leading the people of Mandalore. So it's like there's so much blank canvas you can go between to kind of play with Bo-Katan that I would personally love them to play with. But Thrawn is the same way. There's so much blank canvas between Order 66 and then the start of Rebels. So there's just so much blank canvas. Ahsoka having her own show, which they've already talked about with Sabine. There's so much blank canvas. So to me, having spinoffs for Star Wars is something that I think is completely fine and is no different than Marvel giving you 400 movies and then telling you on top of those movies, we're going to do more movies and we're going to do shows that tie into the movies. To me, Star Wars doing that is no different. And if it doesn't grow fatigue for Marvel, I don't see Star Wars being more popular. I don't see it growing fatigue for that shit either. So to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. It's just I'm terrified of oversaturation. So it's like always going to be a possibility. You don't want to water down the market because then it makes everything else a little bit less.
I feel you, but Dakota, I again will say Marvel is giving us 4 movies a year, plus
TV but they shows. Haven't really done any of their shows yet. We don't know if their shows are going to be as much of a hit.
No.
You have that solid baseline.
I'm not talking about whether they're good or not. I'm talking about the idea of oversaturation. It just doesn't. Yeah. It's not as big of a theory anymore as it might have been 5-10 years ago, where it was like, all right, well, Marvel's doing
for sure. Yeah,
here you're now doing.
The only reason why people talk about oversaturation is because the movie isn't good in general.
But right. Which is the case for Star Wars. Yeah, like Star Wars, the television shows are good. Lately, though, the movies, I mean, we've gone down this rabbit hole before. It's just you have to have both things syncing perfectly, and. I don't know. Like,
the planning isn't good right now with Star Wars.
It's hard to establish a cinematic universe. Like,
To your point, then, I would say if you're Star Wars, that's even more reason to go harder on your shows. Is because if you're taking this huge break that what's her name said they're taking from the movies, excuse me, and your shows build up. Even if your movies aren't as great as they should be or aren't as great as Rogue One or whatever, if your shows are hitting, you could have 30 shows. The oversaturation won't grow because your movies aren't hitting. Like, it doesn't work. I mean, look at DC. They had, like, a string of bad movies. And people are still going to see DC movies after that. Why? Because
oversaturation
doesn't really work.
They had their own app that just went about as well as any of their movies did.
Wait, would you say AJ?
I didn't say anything. That was Dakota.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were saying they weren't bad. I was like, all right, hold on, AJ.
No. I am very critical of DC, and that's because, like, originally that's my favorite comic book company was DC, and like I've always been more of a fan of their animation movies than their live action movies. Their animation movies are incredible. They just don't have that same magic with live action. And look, everything's getting their legs. It is very hard to establish a cinematic universe. Marvel kind of just lucked out and did it. They just had a decent enough slate of characters to work with, and kind of just really the right timing.
Even with Marvel, though, they still had a tough time because...
Yeah, that took like 8 years to develop, though. Like, you had Iron Man.
It took a
you
lot had of time preparation.
I'm going to say this. To build a universe isn't that difficult, because I remind people, you start off with Man of Steel, a hit. You then follow that up with BVS.
I don't know if it was a hit.
It was definitely a hit.
I don't know, man.
No. You can't judge if Man of Steel was a hit or not by people's negative response to it. It was a hit because it was a legit hit in the box office. It made
It's Superman. Any Superman movie's gonna make money.
No. Brandon Routh's Superman did not make a lot of money. That is not
true. Hey, I will never say a bad word against Brandon Routh's Superman. He did the best that he could. All right, he had to deal with Kevin Spacey.
I didn't say anything about that, man. I just said that movie did not make a lot of money. So yes, not every Superman movie makes a lot of money. All I'm saying,
in today's day and age, like when you get as big a title as a Superman movie, people are gonna go see it because it's Superman. It's not like the days of fucking Superman 4, which we all know is just a terrible movie, where you know, like people aren't as willing to go see it just because it kind of looks like shit, and surprise, surprise, it turned out to be shit.
Yeah, but what the point I was making was, what Marvel has done is not, well, let me not say that. DC easily could have copied it. The problem was, they allowed their two mishaps to define their entire legacy. Like, if you didn't fuck up losing Ben, and then mess up Henry... Because think about it. Wonder Woman hit. Aquaman hit. Shazam hit. Birds of Prey, for all all intents and purposes, was a hit. So you go, you had a string of really good movies that made a lot of money. You just unfortunately let the backlash from the media define BVS, and then you allowed yourself to self-sabotage Justice League. If Justice League was good, and BVS didn't have that insane negative backlash, you're talking about a string of 8 movies that are legit all good movies. And then you follow that up with Henry having his Man of Steel 2, Ben having his solo. We're talking about DC doing great things right now. So I'm like, no, to copy what Marvel did with DC, here's why DC had an easier road than Marvel. No one knew who the these characters were that Marvel was bringing into this world, because they weren't popular in the 90s. They weren't popular in the 2000s. They were only popular once Feige made them into movies.
Captain America's been popular forever. And I used to watch the Iron Man cartoon before.
Not in the overall public's eye, no.
That's my point. Captain America was not selling comics, was not selling high point comics in the 90s. Neither was Iron Man. Neither was Thor. It was, if anyone knew anything about Marvel, it was Spider-Man, X-Men, Fantastic Four, and the Hulk.
That generation where Marvel was almost getting there, but they didn't quite have their footing yet.
Point. So if you're DC, you had an easier road to build your universe when you go, I'm going to give you Batman. We know that guy. I'm going to give you Wonder Woman. We know that. I'm going to give you Flash. I'm going to give you Superman. You had an easier road to build because everyone knows your characters. Marvel had a harder road because you're starting off with a character no one cared about. So if that movie wasn't good, you're now reshuffling the deck to figure out how you get this universe off the ground. That's why it's such an accomplishment that he built this for 10 plus years because you started it with characters literally no one cared about. You know what I mean?
You got the casting down, but DC also has this ultimate hang up that I just don't think they're ever going to eclipse, and they have the fucking Dark Knight problem because no movie they ever make, no superhero movie is ever going to measure up to that. Like, and this is something that they've been dealing with since 2008. Like, none of DC's movies can ever match that. And it's unfortunate because even if, you know, you get a good superhero movie out of them, it's always going to be compared, well, hey, it wasn't as good as The Dark Knight. Like, it's
the issue with that is
perfection. It's like you've tasted perfection, like everything else is just never going to quite measure up, you know?
The issue with that is, though, is with DC, previous to DC was Kevin Tsuchiyaro was in charge. The issue with that is he was mainly focused on making an overall overarching story instead of making one good film.
Right.
Like what Christopher Nolan did with The Dark Knight or Batman Begins.
Right. It's putting the cart before the horse, kind of like what Universal did with that whole Dark Universe fiasco.
Right. Right. So all I'm saying is this, we kind of steered off the point a little bit, but all I'm saying is this is, Star Wars has a lot of bad to do before they ever worry about a point of oversaturation.
They just need the confidence. Right now, I don't think they have confidence in their IP.
Which is fair, but here's the thing, AJ. You had a string of three movies that are probably some of the most picked apart movies in Star Wars history of anything Star Wars. And you survived it. Why? Because you dropped The Mandalorian and everyone was just kind of like, all right. Yeah, this is great. Let's move forward with this. So to me, it's one of those things where it's like everyone remembers the lull between Revenge of the Sith and what was the Star Wars?
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Everyone was so thirsty for a Star Wars movie that it was like, yo, I don't give a fuck what is in this movie. We have just been waiting so long. So the thing is, now that it's here, we're in a world now that completely forgets that time gap that they had between Revenge of the Sith in like 03 and then Force Awakens like 4 years ago. So now it's kind of just like, it's a Star Wars high. Give me good cartoons. Give me good, give me good TV shows. And then work your way up to giving me good movies. To me, Star Wars, build up these TV shows, way back into the movies. Best course of option if you're Star Wars. But all right, let's move on. Dakota, I'll pass it to you, man. You wanted to talk some Darth Vader. Vader got some good comics out.
Yes. Actually, over the past 6 months, I would say, just great comic after great comic. So far in the comic series since the last time we talked, Vader was in the process of locating Padme's tomb. He also encountered all of Padme's handmaidens. Sabé was one of them. There's this whole great story, and then he gets to her tomb and stuff, and like you just see there's the flash of Anakin in him, and the way it's written and illustrated, it's just beautiful. Then it gets back to the Emperor, and the Emperor like beats the living shit out of him because he can tell that, okay, you're starting to lose him. You know, there's this great scene on Mustafar where Vader literally goes in the fucking lava and just chills and comes out like a G.
Is that the same comic to where it's right after Anakin becomes Vader? So it's like he's looking for his own lightsaber. Palpatine has him going through different trials. There's even a moment.
This is after that. I know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah, this is after that. I think this is what was set up in Vader Immortal, which was the whole Vader on Mustafar building the castle, the whole Mask of Moment thing.
Okay.
Resurrect Padme, because this is the event that precipitated that, I believe, was him finding Padme's tomb. Feeling that conflict on the inside. So I think that's where more or less where it was going. There's a great YouTube channel that goes through all of it. It's Star Wars Comics. His Darth Vader videos are great. He does a really good job presenting and going through the comics. And I would highly recommend them to anyone who just likes kick-ass Darth Vader moments.
Yeah, the one that I'm reading currently is like I told you, is literally the rise of Darth Vader. He's literally going around killing Jedi Master without a lightsaber. And he's literally going through like these trials, and it was this one moment where Vader kind of like stood up to Palpatine, and Palpatine was like, excuse me. And Vader was like, oh yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. And he was like, all right. Yeah. Yeah, bitch. Don't forget. And like, I'm just loving seeing like the growth of Vader, seeing him get these robotic legs and then break a leg off and then reattach. Like, it's so dope what Vader's doing in this. Very menacing. Again, me and AJ were saying this, Dakota, we desperately want to get as far away from the Skywalker saga as possible. But if there were one last thing they could do for the Skywalker saga, it legit would be to give us all that empty canvas of right after Anakin became Vader. Give us all that. Like, literally the rise of Vader. Where everyone still thinks Anakin's completely dead. No one knows that he became Vader. Give us all that. Even what you're talking about, going to Mustafar, building the, like, give us all that. And let that be like the last hurrah of the Skywalker saga. I think would be dope. It would be perfect. It would finally give us what we want, which is Darth Vader out here murking Jedi. And him being able to walk a lot better than what he was able to do in the original ones. But that would be like my last wish for like the Skywalker saga. But no, definitely make sure you guys check out the Vader comics. Definitely appreciate Dakota wanting to bring that up, because from what I started reading, I'm like, I'm freaking hooked. We also wanted to talk a little bit about Star Wars Squadron. AJ, you haven't played Squadron yet, have you?
I have not.
I have not either. So Dakota, this is you teeing us up Star Wars Squadron.
Well, I mean, it's basically like a modern retelling of I'm a child. I'm 27 years old, so this is like when I was a kid, when we had the computer and stuff, I had Star Wars X-Wing and we had TIE Fighter. Which were two, because I was big into flight simulators, so a Star Wars flight simulator is right up my alley. And this is like a modern retelling of that, and I think it was beautifully done. I can finally just fucking go insane on a capital ship. Like, I cannot tell you how satisfying it is to take apart an Imperial Star Destroyer piece by piece. Like, it's just so much fun. Just beautifully done, well executed, like, it's a fun game, and I would highly recommend it, especially because it's not a $60 game. It was never, it was released as $39.99, so I mean, it was cool of EA to do that. There's no microtransactions. You know, the online's pretty cool. I'm not a huge online player, but you know, it's definitely fun. The offline is pretty challenging too. Like, it's not terrible. So definitely well worth at least checking out, you know?
Yeah, it's funny, Dakota, because me and you were talking that Star Wars aircrafts or you know, any of their flight mechanics don't get enough love. Like, no one really talks about that. And it's like,
it trips me out, because anyone who's ever played, like, imagine Star Wars as a kid, like, you know, you'd play with the sticks and act like there are lightsabers, and then you'd fucking act like you're flying in a TIE fighter or an X-Wing and shit. So it's like, you know, people grew up with these vehicles, you know, like, granted, they're completely non-existent and any information you have about them is completely useless due to the fact that they don't exist. But it still doesn't stop me from going and reading every fucking vehicle characteristic I can ever find, because I have a weird fascination for shit like that.
I mean, I tell you this now. I was so addicted to the AT-ATs that it was a Toys R Us exclusive. It was literally like over $100, and it was Han, Leia. No, I think it was Han, Chewie, like a stormtrooper, and it was like a really large AT-AT that you could like put the figures in, And when I tell you, I love the shit out of that thing. Because I'm like, it just, it fascinates me so much. Like, those things are so freaking cool. And then it's like the one thing Star Wars did that like crushed my heart when I finally saw it when I was a kid was like how easily one guy was just like, hey, those legs are really long. What if we just put like string around them and like tried to trip them up? And it was like, shit. Like, that's the one thing I don't think they planned for. It's like, damn, yeah, that's really smart. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Vehicles don't get enough love, man. And most of these ships and aircrafts are like really freaking dope, but no one gives them enough time to really kind of like flesh out how cool they are. It's just kind of like, no, does it have a lightsaber? It's a ship. It can't, I don't really care then. It's like, you're missing out. But definitely it's something I plan on checking out. Star Wars has released a few games on the Switch that are pretty cheap, and they look it. But they look like fun games nonetheless. But moving on, I did want to talk. I wanted us to get into our Star Wars theories. Shout out to Theory on YouTube. He has Star Wars, his channel, Star Wars Theories. He has a lot of great theories. Me and AJ were kicking around the can for a few of them. I'll kick it off here. I was telling AJ my favorite one was Dakota because it's the most unlikely. And it was the one of Obi-Wan siding with Anakin and joining Anakin on the dark side. Now, what's funny about that is I was just watching. I didn't even know they had this. James Arnold Taylor and Sam Witwer did a podcast for season 7 of Star Wars. And they were breaking down, I assume, which was each episode, but I only saw one. And James was talking about how it's almost impossible to get Obi-Wan to ever turn because he is like, outside of Qui-Gon, who was like literally the perfect Jedi, Obi-Wan was literally the most disciplined Jedi ever. And he said his biggest trial was when Duchess died and Darth Maul killed her, he easily could have succumbed to the dark side right then and there. All of the anger that he's ever felt, all of the failure of him not taking out Maul when he had the opportunities to. And he was saying that it could have all leaped out in that moment, but it didn't. And Sam Witwer was saying what he also loved about Obi-Wan was, and I want to go to you, Dakota, tell me if you notice this, he said what he loved the most about the end battle between Obi-Wan and Maul and Rebels was Obi-Wan kind of succumbed to his more immature self with the stance that he took with the lightsaber. And then he realized like, oh shit, like that's what got me messed up before. And then he takes the Qui-Gon stance that kind of throws Maul off a little bit enough for Kenobi to take him out. And I was just like, that was really like, amazing an amazing visual that Filoni had set up in that last battle. But how far off would it be, Dakota, for Obi-Wan to ever succumb to the dark side?
I think it would be highly unlikely. Like you say, Obi-Wan is like, and I don't want to be that person. Qui-Gon was not the perfect Jedi. He was very, very frequently came into conflict with the Council. This is why Dooku eventually split. This is why Dooku said in episode 2, Qui-Gon would have seen why Dooku did the way that he did. I'm not saying Qui-Gon would have endorsed him or, you know. No.
Okay. Let me really quickly before you continue. Let me say this. What I mean, and I'm sorry, I should have elaborated more. That was just way too broad of me of a thing for me to say. What I mean by Qui-Gon was a perfect Jedi was what his ideals were is exactly how the Jedi Order should have been. That's how the Jedi Order should have been. And if they were that way, it would have been almost impossible to pull guys like Anakin or Dooku. Because you would have rode the line of what was necessarily right, but the human side of how people reacted to things. And you would have been able to bring Anakin, like the only reason Sidious was able to take Anakin away from Obi-Wan was because Sidious pulled on, not only did he manifest and pull on Anakin's biggest fear, but he felt as though Anakin felt as though he could utterly and fully trust Palpatine. and a guy that never grew up with a father that looked to Qui-Gon as a father, looked at Obi-Wan as a father. He needed that. And when the council turned their back on him, he went with a guy that he fully believed in. And that was the biggest downfall of the Jedi, that if Qui-Gon was there, never would have happened. You know what I'm saying? We all know that if Qui-Gon was alive, Palpatine would have, he would have tried to find someone else because they wouldn't have worked with Anakin. Qui-Gon wouldn't have let that shit pop off. So I'm like,
that's a good segue, because my favorite theory one is what if Qui-Gon was, or what if Obi-Wan was killed by Maul instead of Qui-Gon? And it's true, because Anakin would not have fallen to the dark side had Qui-Gon been his master instead of Obi-Wan, because Obi-Wan was more like a brother to him, whereas Qui-Gon was a straight-up father figure. Like, Anakin, there was always a point, like, even in his Darth Vader years, he still thought of Qui-Gon and held respect for him.
Right, and what's super important about what you're saying, AJ, I'm going to let you come in here and give your theory also. But what's super important about Qui-Gon's relationship with Anakin was, if Anakin came to Qui-Gon and said, listen, I'm having these terrible nightmares of Padme dying, and I'm terrified, what do I do? Qui-Gon would have led him down the right path of, look, man, sometimes you lose people, you know, and it happens. There's nothing that can stop that. Or, because we do know what I find to be so apropos about Anakin's fear is, some could say his aggression to Padme is what killed her. Him turning to the dark side is what killed her. But to me, Qui-Gon just wouldn't have let Anakin go down a path of ever feeling neglected, ever feeling as though he didn't have anyone he could trust. And those were the biggest tipping points for Anakin in his conversion to the dark side, is that he thought he lost the respect of the council, the ear of the council, everything that he had been working so hard to gain. He felt as though the respect wasn't there. And Qui-Gon wouldn't have let that shit pop off. He really wouldn't have. He really, really, really wouldn't have. And what's crazy is, you know what I find the most funny, Dakota? The person that is most like Qui-Gon, I felt, was Ahsoka. And I thought Qui-Gon would have done what Ahsoka ended up doing, and he would have left the Order well before he would have ever let them disrespect Anakin like that. The kid worked way too goddamn hard for you to look him in the eye and go, no, you can't be us. So to me, I just think Qui-Gon living would have just drastically changed Anakin's outcome.
I agree with that. That's a fair point. I do think, because again, we can reference what Dooku said in episode 2, which is, you know, Qui-Gon would have seen the things that Dooku saw, and I'm not saying Dooku was ever right in doing the things that he did, but he felt a certain way, and that caused him to leave the Jedi, which is how Palpatine found him, which again speaks to Palpatine's ability to manipulate people, because he picked this guy who just left the Jedi Order, was all full of this resent and stuff, and he molded him. He played him.
Yep.
I
mean, you can make the case, Dakota, that if Qui-Gon was still alive, Dooku wouldn't have turned. You could make the case also.
Yeah, Dooku would still be alive, I imagine. And yeah, Anakin would have never turned.
Nope. Picture how fucking powerful the Jedi Order would have been. Dooku, Qui-Gon, Mace, Yoda, Anakin. Come on, that starting five is ridiculous, bro. Palpatine would have been dead within like the course of like 2 months. Like,
I don't think so. If all that happened, and if they were as strong as what you're saying, then Palpatine would be as strong, because there has to be an equal amount of force each other.
Well, no, because Mace single-handedly almost killed Palpatine. So
that's why I hate the prequels. That's so inconsistent.
But I'm only going off of the canvas that was built. So I'm saying that if Mace could single-handedly take on Palpatine, you're not telling me a starting five of Yoda, Qui-Gon, Anakin, Dooku, and Mace wouldn't have killed.
But do you think there would be an Order 66 if Palpatine knew he wouldn't be able to convert Anakin. I don't think he would have done Order 66 if he knew he couldn't.
Well, I mean, a lot of things.
Anakin was an important part of his plan in Order 66.
Oh, for sure. But again, that only came because Qui-Gon was dead. You don't turn Anakin if Qui-Gon's not dead.
Exactly. So who knows?
Did Palpatine have a backup plan for Anakin? I don't know. We'll never know. I don't know. That's a fun what if. What was his backup plan? I mean, because remember in Clone Wars, remember he told Maul, "I have plans for you." We never saw those plans manifest. Would Maul have been his backup plan if Anakin didn't work out? Who knows? We don't know. But I don't know. I do see him invoking Order 66 a lot sooner if he felt as though there was no other alternative. Order 66 just would not have worked as effectively as it did when you literally depleted the Jedi Order by literally separating everyone and then isolating them to where Anakin's taking on Obi, Yoda's taking on Sidious, Mace is dead. You know, you're taking on Plo Koon and everybody else is on mission, so they're not really like on guard. I think Qui-Gon would have seen Order 66 coming. Yoda wouldn't have been as clouded in his judgment to kind of miss it. So, Qui-Gon being alive legit almost could have altered the entire Star Wars universe. That's how important of a character he was. So I don't know. But AJ, I'll kick it to you, man. What were one of your favorite? What was one of your favorite what ifs?
Yeah, since we are still on Order 66, my favorite one was, what if Order 66 failed? So with that, you will have Plo Koon that survived, Ki-Adi Mundi would have survived, Sakura would have survived, I think. Just basically any Master Jedi that was in tune with the Force greatly, I think would all survive. And then you have, then Yoda would have sent Obi-Wan and Plo Koon to Mustafar based on the video. Yoda would have faced Palpatine along with Plo Koon, Mundi, Sakura, and other Jedi. They would all face Palpatine. Then it has Yoda. Yoda would have killed Palpatine within that moment.
Right.
Then Plo Koon and Obi-Wan arrested Anakin. Mm-hmm. Then Luke and Leia would have been together training in the Force along with the other Jedi. The one thing I want to touch on is Yoda killing Palpatine. If Yoda kills Palpatine and Anakin is arrested, how would Anakin escape? And I'm going to expand on that a little bit more. I would say, bring Plagueis into the fold. We hear the tragedy story of Darth Plagueis the Wise. Use that mythology. Actually have it mean something within the context of the movie. I think Plagueis would be a perfect antagonist for the Jedi continue forward. And having him train Anakin to be stronger, and Anakin wouldn't have the mechanical parts since he survived the.
I tell you what, your what if intrigues me for this main purpose, because they get in depth in that what if. But I tell you this, Anakin, human Anakin at his peak, versus a Luke that's been trained since birth.
And Leia. Leia would be able to, I think Leia, if Leia was trained at the same time, I think she would be able to compete with Luke at the same time. Oh, so it would be
for sure.
Anakin, Luke versus Anakin.
That's like Tyson versus Muhammad Ali, man. That's a battle that is worth the money. Seeing father versus son and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That'd for sure be dope. Dakota, did you have anything to add to AJ's what if before I close this up on what if?
No, I thought it was a pretty good one. I would for sure love to see Anakin versus Luke versus Leia. That'd be incredible.
Battle of the Skywalkers. Like, only yes. one can live.
It's and like, then you have Plague as rich as everybody else. I honestly think if they do bring back Plagueis, he should be stronger than Palpatine, even though Palpatine thinks he's stronger than Plagueis. I think it would be a cool move to see Star Wars to do.
Well, I mean, he killed Plagueis. I mean,
yeah, but it was in his sleep. It was in his sleep. That's not strong.
AJ, if your name is AJ the Wise and I can kill you in your sleep, nah, I'm stronger than you, dog.
No, you're not. That's just a cheap move.
How you not see that coming? You're supposed to be wise. How you think I'm not going to kill you in your sleep? It's when you're the weakest.
Maybe he did on purpose. That was all his plans. Hey, see?
Hey, that's fair. Hey, chestnut checkers. I'm with you. I will say, to close this out on what if, the two what ifs that stood out to me the most were, what if Anakin took Luke and Leia and trained them himself? You know, obviously he's still on the dark side and he trains Luke and Leia himself. That blew my mind. I was like, holy, holy, holy. And then the other one was, I don't know if you guys saw this one. I think I had this correct. It's, what if Anakin turned back to the good side? So Anakin at his full height power is, you know, about to kill Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan talks him down. Which, by the way, Dakota, that is the most undisciplined Obi-Wan has ever been, is in that moment where Anakin gives him an opening to talk him down, and instead Obi-Wan leads with anger, and only fuels that situation more. But in this scenario of the what if, I have it confused. I'm sorry. It's the one I told you about, AJ. Sorry, Dakota, did you see the one on what if Darth Maul raised Anakin?
Yes, I have. I've seen pretty much all of them. That's a really good one.
Did you remember how powerful Anakin got when he just murdered everybody?
Yes.
That was dope as shit. So, okay, so
that's AJ, like Starkiller Anakin. That's insane.
Right. So, okay, so AJ, so he was trained, obviously, fully in the dark side. Darth Maul then has the same plan that Vader had with Starkiller, which was, hey, we're powerful enough to kill the Emperor, and then we can be, like, the strongest. So Anakin has that, but then he has a coming to God moment where he sees Qui-Gon. And he kind of realizes the error of his ways, but he's still so powerful in rage. So he, like, murders Darth Maul in, like, the worst. He murders Darth Maul so bad. Wait, was it Darth Maul or Sidious that he murdered so bad? Obi-Wan and Yoda were like, I can't even look at this shit. Like, that is so gross. It was, AJ, when you get a chance, please watch that. It is so insane how crazy powerful Anakin was. But yeah, no, those were definitely the two what ifs that stood out to me the most, because it was just like, whoa, that's a crazy concept. But before we round this out, I wanted to talk about my Kylo Ren theory. AJ has heard me rattle this off ad nauseum. But Dakota, we haven't talked Star Wars in a while. So what I was pitching was a Disney Plus series where you kind of let it be as mature as The Mandalorian is. And it's the story of Sebastian Stan as Luke Skywalker, Timothy Chalamet as Ben Solo / Kylo Ren. And it's a story to where you're kind of improving off of what Rian Johnson was doing in The Last Jedi. And what that is it's Luke obviously training all the Jedi, and Kylo and him obviously having a disagreement. And Sidious, aka Snoke, putting thoughts in Kylo's head, putting thoughts in his head. And, you know, you're turning him more and more and more. And then obviously you have that moment where Luke senses it, tries to kill him. Kylo, Ben realizes it. And it's legit expounding on what Rian was doing in that. So it's Luke fighting to get Kylo back, and us finally seeing him, the rise of Kylo and the Knights of Ren start killing off Jedi. So it's Luke trying to fight his way to Kylo to redeem him. And we're seeing literally the height of Kylo taking on all these Jedi that Luke is training. And then we finally get what we should have gotten in The Last Jedi, which is a proper battle between Luke and Kylo. Obviously, before it ends in a stalemate, Luke goes off in exile. Kylo goes on to become the dopest mofo on in the galaxy. But I'm like, if you do a series like that, a one-off, we don't need a season one, season two, season three, a one-off, 8 to 12 episodes of that, I'm telling you, it will only heighten, which is already a great legacy for Kylo Ren that Adam Driver has left us. And I'm telling you, I would buy 39 subscriptions myself to make sure that this has all the views that it needs. What would you think about a series like that, Dakota?
I can definitely get behind it. I would, like you said, it would give us anything more than the movies did. So, I mean, that's just backstory that obviously we need. I could totally get behind that if it's like a limited series.
Yep.
I just don't want to spend like six seasons getting.
No, not at all. Just one season. And it, the point of the one season is to give us like a movie, but in show form, like limited series show form. Because obviously the events after that, we've seen in the movie. So there is no, like, there's not a large canvas that you need to go down past just that. Bring Sebastian Stan in as Luke. He could do an amazing job. Fucking looks like a young Mark Hamill. Timothy Chalamet as a young Kylo. And finally, we can see the Knights of Ren do something. Like, I'm like, you built up the Knights of Ren. You give it to
them. Just going to stand menacingly.
Go ahead, say it again.
Oh, no, they're just going to stand menacingly everywhere.
When I
that
tell you,
that pissed me
wait,
off.
Wait, time out. Sam. But wait, AJ, can I say, remember how when they asked Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams, like, you know, were you guys talking like when you were making your movies? And it was like, yeah, we were keeping a good conversation. That lets you know for a fact that is bullshit. Here's why. Rian Johnson had no idea what to do with Finn. No idea. Absolutely no idea what to do with Finn or Captain Phasma or the Knights of Ren. He clearly had no idea. Same way J.J. Abrams had no idea what to do with Rose. Literally looked at Rose and was like, I don't know what to do with you. What was Ryan trying to do? He was like, I don't know. That's how you know they did not communicate not fucking once in the making of their two movies. They had no communication. Captain Phasma was wasted even more in the second movie than she was in the first movie because Rian Johnson had no idea what to do with Phasma.
At least she got a buck, though. That buck was really good.
That is true. That is true. But I'm like, the Knights of Ren were built up so much. And goddamn, why do I keep forgetting what the first movie was? Force Awakens. To be like this menacing group. We see them. I don't even think we see them in The Last Jedi. We obviously see them in Rise of the Skywalker. And it's just like, JJ. What did you do? Like, what were they? What were they supposed to be? So you bring them into the show and having them take on Jedi, you can really showcase their true potential along with really showing how powerful Kylo was. I still to this day think Kylo stopping that blast midair is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in Star Wars history. So I'm like, expound upon that, man. Show how powerful he really was starting to become, because the movies did not do him any justice whatsoever. So I'm like, yeah, limited series, pretty dope. But AJ, would you watch that limited series?
100%. I like the idea. Sebastian Stan, great actor. Timothy Chalamet, amazing actor. So who wouldn't be behind this series?
I would be so hyped. And the one struggle I would have is I don't know if you need to introduce a younger Han or a younger Leia. I think that might just be better left alone. And it's more so just Luke's journey to try to redeem Kylo. You can save the parent redemption for what the movies actually did. But one question I want to give before we get out of here. Dakota, do you ever look back? I want to start with you, then I'm going to go to you, AJ. Do you ever look back at that silhouette scene of Kylo killing Han and just go, that is one of the more best cinematic scenes in Star Wars live action history? Or do you look at that scene and kind of go, that was more overrated than anything?
I don't look at that as either, because Han is like one of my favorite characters, and I was just more devastated that they actually killed him. It was more like just a, I know when I first saw it, I'm like, you mother, like, I was like, motherfucker. And that was in the theater too.
Yeah, and no, I think the reason why I loved it, and who doesn't fucking love Han Solo? I mean, the guy is legit. I think Han Solo is what made Star Wars famous, you know, obviously outside of Darth Vader. But you look at that scene, and I love the trickery of it. I love where Kylo is like, I know what I have to do, but I'm not strong enough to do it. And so, like, the viewer, we're like, oh, he's talking about, like, turning back to the good side, and it's like, help him, Han. And it's like, no, that's not what he meant. He meant he in that moment, he didn't know if he was strong enough to kill his dad to show that he's truly Sith. And when his dad gave him that strength to, like, I can kill this motherfucker. All right, give me a second. And I love that, because it's like you didn't expect it. You didn't expect, who kills off Han Solo? You know, so it's like, that's what I loved about that scene. And I loved how right before Kylo made that decision, the silhouette of how dark it became in that room to kind of showcase, like, oh, he's embracing the dark side and he needs this to fulfill it. And I loved it. I loved it. It's still one of my all-time favorite Star Wars scenes ever. Because it's such a major swerve with the dialogue and then the silhouette. Loved it, loved it, loved it. AJ, did you love that, or did you kind of view it as a bit overrated? Are you with Dakota to where you were kind of just like, yo, what the fuck? Why would you kill Han?
Yeah, I loved it the same reason basically you had your one. So, yeah.
It was just a beautiful ass silhouette, man. It really caught me off guard. But guys, this was a great bounce back episode of Star Wars Saturday. Was there a topic that I missed, Dakota, before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I think we got to the main ones we wanted to get to. So
absolutely. Yeah, we got more topics, and we are really all looking forward to episode 4 of I was about to say Star Wars or Clone Wars of The Mandalorian. God damn, I missed that show.
Say I'm cautiously optimistic.
Really? Why do you say that?
I don't know. Because again, kind of middling season so far. I don't want to get like 20 minutes of filler and then like 30 seconds of Ahsoka Tano and then credits.
Yeah, I kind of feel like because here's the thing. We know Filoni is like a co-producer on this show. Ahsoka is his daughter. There's no way they fucked this up. Mainly because there's no way Ahsoka's in more than just this one episode, in my opinion. So there's no way you waste it. Just like they didn't waste Bo-Katan, there's no way you waste Ahsoka. I do not believe they waste it. My biggest trepidation is how many questions get answered. I don't want this episode to end and I got more fucking questions. Answer some of this shit, man, before you give me more questions for me to wait for more answers of. Start answering stuff. Like, if it's just Ahsoka, where's Sabine? What happened to your search of Ezra? Like, there's certain things that I do want answered. The main thing I'm looking forward to is, like, Mando showing up and going, here, take this. And Ahsoka going, no. It's like, wait, what? I thought you were supposed to. No, I don't do that shit. I don't do that. You got the wrong one. I don't want kids. No, thank you. But no, I think Dave Filoni does not let Favreau waste an episode with Ahsoka. No way, no how. AJ, what are your thoughts? AJ?
What happened?
What are your thoughts? Do you think that there's any possibility that this could possibly be a potential wasted episode with Ahsoka? Or do you think Dave Filoni would never let that happen?
Well, who's directing it?
Oh, I don't know. But Dave Filoni, you know, is like a co-producer. So, I mean, I'll tell you this. Ahsoka being in this show is not because Jon Favreau sat back and was like, yo, you know it'd be cool? Ahsoka. No, that's completely Dave Filoni walking in a room and was like, yo. But Ahsoka, though? Like, that's definitely Dave Filoni. Like, that's definitely his brainchild. Like, her being in this show, period.
Well, anything can be a potential waste of time with TV series. So, I don't think it's going to be a wasted episode, but never say never. Basically, I have hopes. I have hopes that we get Ahsoka in this episode.
If we learned anything from this recent trilogy, it's that the words never say never cannot and will not exist in the Star Wars world as we know it today. So, yeah, who knows? But hopefully they do her justice. Hopefully we get a lot of questions answered. And who knows? Maybe we get a little bit of Sabine. Maybe we get a little bit of answers about Ezra. Who knows? I just hope it's a good episode. And I guess I have all the faith in the world that it would be because the last episode was great. I mean, I'm biased because it had Bo-Katan, but I thought that was a great episode. And it answered a lot of what the fuck she's been up to and why you know, and the motivations behind her wanting this Darksaber so bad. But I'm looking forward to it, guys. Can't wait to break it down with you guys on an all-new Star Wars Saturday. But till then, guys, may the Force be with you guys always. And Dakota, thank you for a great bounce back episode. And AJ, we had a marathon of a podcast day, man. So I hope people really enjoy the amount of work we put into all these episodes. But thank you guys for joining me for this all new episode, and we will see you guys same time, same place next week. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.